a New York Times piece.
Yeah.
Okay. Justin Levitt, I did mention him, and he was cited in this piece as saying voter impersonation fraud is rare. Y'all are bright kids. You go to Duke. There's a term in social science research called confirming the null hypothesis. I don't want to put you on the spot and go, are you familiar with that? But I'll break it down for people who might be watching this. If I create an instrument to look at something, let's say I launch a tea kettle into space, a little teeny tea kettle, and then I create a telescope to look at that tea kettle in space and I don't see it. The only reason I know it's there is because I put it there, but my instrument said it wasn't there. I'd be a bad social scientist if I ever said, well, I looked and it's not there. And that's called confirming the null hypothesis, or as Carl Sagan put it, the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. And so Justin Levitt, and this is when I met him in a much more sociable way, I saw that article saying the kind of vote fraud that voter ID would prevent does not exist. So what do you mean it doesn't exist? Well, and his methodology was he looked at a sample of 10 years, over a billion votes cast, and he found, I think, 31 credible cases of voter impersonation fraud. I've found, just in my research, I found two, and he hadn't found those. So, wow, I wonder how many more. And this, I didn't look for them hard, but I found two. And so I called Justin up and said, how do you define credible? He said, well, if they were prosecuted, and I just started laughing at him because I know how hard it is to get prosecutions. And so that is a, if anything, there's a multiplier. If they prosecuted 31, that means there were probably, I have no idea what that multiplier is, but there is a number that each one of those prosecutions represents, or a tip of the iceberg. And so, you know, the people with any brains at all in social science and in the media are embarrassing themselves when they take, and Justin quickly backpedaled. I said, Justin, you've heard of confirming the null hypothesis, right? You're a bright guy. He says, yeah, yeah, I have. I said, are you saying that there is no vote fraud because you only found 31 of them? And he, no, that's not what I'm saying. And he put the right delimiters in his study, so it's all academically, and you know, the conclusions, there's multiple hypotheses this could be and all that. So it's a scholarly study. But the media, including the right honorable New York Times even, they cherry pick the data and they go, well, he said there's none. And so they misinterpret it. And Justin said, that's not what I meant. I said, we're making a movie. Would you like to come on that movie? I'd love to get him on tape saying that. And he lawyered up on me because he got a job with the Justice Department. And, oh, no, I can't. You have to talk to our public affairs officer. And it's like, okay, I get it. You're not going to do it. But it is bad social science research. And so many people in academia, they are grabbing that and looking at it and just taking that interpretation. And so I want to throw that in as a footnote to just because it's a very difficult crime to detect, very difficult, because someone walks in, they claim they're someone, and they walk out, and they voted. And unless that person walks in and someone remembers who came in before, don't forget early voting. In Ohio, it's 30 days. North Carolina, we got it squeezed into 10 days. Still isn't enough. I'd say, you know, back to your question, I'd say 0 days. Have a national holiday of Election Day. I know the left wants a national holiday, great. But you're not going to have early voting. You're not going to have absentee voting unless you've got a sworn affidavit under penalty of perjury, witnessed with a thumbprint. You know, I want to be sure that nobody, you go in one day, it's a national holiday because it celebrates our freedom, that everyone would come in and vote. What we have now is days and days and days where no one knows who's voting. Nobody knows you. You know, back in the old days, everyone knew because you'd come into your neighborhood, your precinct, and vote. And now you go into early voting or absentee, and it's so easy to commit fraud through both of those channels. I'd like to see both of those.
Wouldn't that be the same, though? I mean, I think a lot of the reason why people don't know is because, you know, I go to a voter precinct and there's thousands of people. But do you think that's different for early voting versus day of voting in terms of who knows you at the polls and who can sort of check that you are who you say you are?
By law, a great deal of the people working in that precinct are from that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so if I walk in there and claim to be you and it's your neighborhood, there's a chance, it's a pretty good, it's a reasonable chance, depending on where you live and what the neighborhood is, but somebody there might know you. And that happened. You know, it happened to some guy in James O'Keefe in New Hampshire. He was voting for dead people. He didn't vote, but he was proving that you could vote for dead people. And one of the guys said, wait, I know that guy. He just died. And he said, James is like, I hear my mom calling. I got to go. And he left. But when you do it locally on Election Day, that's the way it was supposed to be. It's a very sacred public act. and you vote with your friends and your neighbors, and that's a day we come together and celebrate democracy. When you depersonalize it with absentee, with massive absentee voting. I mean, there were guys in Florida, a cop in Florida who was working with us. He said there were people, they were getting registered for absentee ballot without their knowledge. And the next day, somebody would come and knock on the door and say, yeah, we see you filed for an absentee ballot. Would you like any help filling it out? Mm. That's called voter intimidation.
Right.
And these are elderly people, and they're freaked out. And so, yeah, this we got to get this back in a box, or people, it's going to go the other way. I mean, in Norway, they tried internet voting, and it failed dismally, and nobody voted. And so if you, the more you make it to where it's totally impersonal, the more people just go, forget it, I'm done, I don't trust it. And we, if that happens, we're finished as a country. We're totalitarian, we're like Iran at that point. And so I'd like to avoid that through having honest elections, if it's still possible. Okay,